And if you'd turn, please, in your Bibles to Psalm 150. Psalm 150, the last psalm in the book of Psalms, and the culmination of the praise that is given in the book of Psalms. We'll read these six short verses. Here again, God's Word. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty expanse. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with harp and lyre. Praise Him with timbrel and dancing. Praise Him with stringed instruments and pipe. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for this psalm, and thank You for the ability that You give us by Your Word and Spirit to give You praise which is appropriate to Your greatness and which gives You honor. We pray that as we have opportunity just for a few moments to look into this particular psalm and contemplate its message, that You would be pleased to apply it to our hearts by the power of Your Spirit. We ask in the name of Jesus, the only Lord and Savior. Amen. R.C. Sproul, who is the founder of Ligonier Ministries, which has a profound ministry in our country and across the world, has a very nice series called From Dust to Glory. And in this series of videotapes and audiotapes, Dr. Sproul gives an overview of each one of the books of the Bible, beginning from Genesis through Revelation, hence the title, From Dust to Glory. Irm and I had the privilege of attending a Bible study in Kansas in which we listened to and watched one of this series, and it had to do with the Psalms. And Dr. Sproul asked an interesting question at the outset of this particular lesson, which was giving an overview of the Psalms. He said something like this: the disciples came to Jesus and asked Him, please teach us to pray. And our Lord commenced to give to the disciples the prayer which we understand to be the Lord's Prayer. And then Dr. Sproul asked this question: why didn't Jesus go to the Psalms and these exemplary prayers that are given to us in the Psalms? And I scratched my head a little bit, but I offered Dr. Sproul an answer. Of course, he couldn't hear me give the answer, but in our Bible study group, I gave an answer to Dr. Sproul's question. And my answer was simply this: well, the book of Psalms is not a book of prayers primarily. The book of Psalms for the Israelites was a book of praise and a book of songs. So it's very natural that our Lord did not go to the book of Psalms to pick out a prayer, but he offered what has come to be called the Lord's Prayer. And so it is that the book of Psalms is the book of praise to our God. It's a book in which we learn to give praise to God. It's a book in which we learn to give praise to God because of who He is. It's a book in which we learn to give praise to God because of all of His wonderful deeds. It's a book in which we learn to give praise to God in every area of life. And it's a book in which we learn to give praise to God in our worship, in the sanctuary. And this is what Psalm 150 is really about, as it brings us to the culmination of the praise of God in the Psalter. And this is the message, I think, of Psalm 150. God is great, and God has done many great things. Praise Him in all of life, and praise Him in worship. I think that's the message. God is very great and has done great things. Therefore, give Him praise in all of life and especially in your worship. Again, it seems to me this is the message of the Psalter and it's the message of Psalm 150. As we've already said, and all we have to do is look in our Bibles, Psalm 150 comes at the end of the Psalter. And it comes at the end of Book 5 in the Psalter, as we've already mentioned. And Book 5 is an amazing book of praise. It begins, as we've already noted, with Psalm 107. Would you turn back in your Bibles, if you have your Bible, to Psalm 107 and quickly note in verse 1, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting." There's our theme. In verse 8, "Let them give thanks to the Lord for His loving kindness." In verse 15, "Let them give thanks to the Lord for His loving kindness and for His wonders to the sons of men." Verse 21, "Let them give thanks to the Lord for His loving kindness and for His wonders to the sons of men." And verse 31, "Let them give thanks to the Lord for His loving kindness and for His wonders to the sons of men." You see, there's our theme again. God is great, and He has done great things. Therefore, give Him praise. And give Him praise in all of life and as you worship Him. Well, Book 5 of the Psalter also contains what has come to be called the Hallels, the praise psalms. And they're so called because they either begin with the words, "Praise the Lord," or end with the words, "Praise the Lord," or begin and end with the words, "Praise the Lord." Hallelujah. And Psalm 111, "Praise the Lord." Psalm 112, "Praise the Lord." Psalm 113, "Praise the Lord." And so it goes. Psalm 115 ends with that phrase again, "Praise the Lord." And Psalm 116 ends with those words, "Praise the Lord." Psalms 113 through 118 are considered by the Jewish folk and by scholars the Hallel, or a minor Hallel, sometimes called the Egyptian Hallel. And this may be because Psalm 114 particularly zeroes in on the captivity in Egypt and the deliverance of God's people. We'll have to talk to Dr. Copeland about that a little bit. Maybe he can help us with that. And then in the Psalter, in Book 5, Psalms 120 through 134 are psalms of ascent. Psalms which the people sang as they went up to the temple to worship God. And then Psalms 146 through 150 are the great Hallel. And if you look at the end of the Psalter at these particular psalms, you'll notice these phrases again. Psalm 146, praise the Lord. And at the end, praise the Lord. And 147, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The great Hallel. And Psalm 148, beginning and ending with those words again. And Psalm 149. And then the culmination of them all in Psalm 150. It's like a great crescendo at the end of the Psalter as the choir sings and the hallelujahs are raised before God, and the apex is reached in Psalm 150. How good it is. Yes, Psalm 150 does call you to praise Jehovah. Look at it particularly. The first words of the psalm, praise the Lord. And the last words of the psalm, once again, praise the Lord. Amen. I think we have to contemplate those words. If you turn back in your Bibles just a couple of pages to the end of Psalm 144, Psalm 144 ends with these words, how blessed are the people who are so situated. How blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. This was a great cry early in the life of Israel. The Lord is God. The Lord is our God. And to remember the preface, the prologue to the Ten Commandments. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. You see, it is the Lord by that title, Jehovah. And in this circumstance, hallelujah, praise Yah, praise the Lord. It is the Lord who is God. And who is the Lord? Amazingly enough, the Bible tells us whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And in the New Testament, what does it say? That if you confess with your mouth, who? Jesus as Lord, or the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. Who is it ultimately that is the Lord? It is Jesus. Jesus is Jehovah in the flesh. He is the second person of the Trinity who condescended to enter into this world, to come into a world, a cesspool of sin, to die and to rise again so that people like us would have access to the God of heaven. And it is Jesus whom we confess as Lord. And so I submit to you that when you sing this psalm, Psalm 150, or you sing the other psalms, you are singing to our Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord, you see. This is to whom we sing. And it is with grateful hearts that we all may do so. And the psalm goes on to say that you are to praise God and praise His Son because He is very great. Look at the beginning of Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty expanse. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Our God is very great, and He holds the power of the universe in His hands. I'm very astonished at a woman in Crawford, Texas, who has stood and said, "I am the spark the universe has chosen to bring about a great movement." Well, I hate to disillusion this lady. The God of the universe is the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is the light of the world, and the spark, and the lightning, and the power, and the glory over all. Would you turn back with me to Psalm 110? As I mentioned, this is one of the great psalms quoted most frequently in the New Testament. Listen to what it says about our Lord. "The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. The Lord will stretch forth your strong scepter from Zion, saying, rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people will volunteer freely in the day of your power, in holy array from the womb of the dawn. Your youth are to you as the dew." And then verse 5, "The Lord is at your right hand. He will shatter kings in the day of His wrath. He will judge among the nations. He will fill them with corpses. He will shatter the chief of men over a broad country. He will drink from the brook by the wayside. Therefore He will lift up His head." Who is the king? It is Christ who is the king. "And the kings of the earth, no matter their name, and the chief executive officers of large corporations, no matter their name, and the governors of various states, and generals in the army, may have their day, but it is Jesus Christ who is over them ultimately, and He will have His day." This is what the psalmist says. He is the king, and it is in His hands that we are, and it is by His power that we live and move and exist. And then there is verse 4 in Psalm 110. "The Lord has sworn and will not change His mind. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." And Melchizedek was one who came on the scene who had neither beginning of days nor end of life, but he was like the Son of God. And so our Lord Jesus has neither beginning of days nor end of life. He abides a priest forever, and He is the one who receives our prayers and passes them on to the Father. Were you not astonished at the death of the late Pope And when his casket was placed in the catacombs, prominently on the face of that casket were a cross and the letter M for Mary. And he said by his own testimony that when there was an assassination attempt on his life, that he owed his life to the intercession of not Jesus Christ, but of Mary. No, it is Jesus Christ who is the King, and he is the great high priest who intercedes for you and me. Thank God that this is the case. Praise God, praise the Lord for who he is. This is what the psalmist tells us in Psalm 150. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. And then if you look at Psalm 150 again, verse 2, praise him for his mighty deeds. Is he not the great God of all who brought into existence this universe in which we live? When I was first a college student, I was quite interested in being an astronomer. And I was interested in not looking through the telescope so much as doing the math. I was interested in being a mathematical astronomer. And those really are two different fields. And I still am kind of interested in astronomy. And periodically I like to go to the NASA website and look at what they're doing. And I've got some great pictures from the Hubble telescope and these kinds of things on my computer. As, you know, the pictures that come up once in a while, they're really cool. I really like them a lot. God made all of that. God put all of that together. And if the earth were ever so slightly this way or that from the sun, we would be frozen or burnt to a crisp. It's just right for you and me. God planned it that way. Isn't that magnificent? It really is. And so we can live in this world. And verse 6 in the psalm says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. I looked up that word breath. And it's the very same word that's used in Genesis, where the Bible says, God breathed into Adam the breath of life. That's the word. Everything that has that breath from God giving life is to utter praise to God. That's the idea. Isn't he magnificent? And what has he done? Well, Psalm 107 speaks to us about some of the things that God has done. Would you look back at just the beginning of Psalm 107 again? And we won't go through a lot of this, but just listen to a few of these words in Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary, and gathered from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness, in a desert region. They did not find a way to an inhabited city. They were hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted within them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them out of their distress. He led them also by a straight way to go to an inhabited city. Let them give thanks to the Lord.
Praise the Lord. God is the God of redemption. God is the God who brings us out of trouble. God is the God who lifts us up out of the pit of sin and degradation. And how does He do that? Well, if you turn back to Psalm 118, a few words there. See, here's another one of those psalms that's quoted so often in the New Testament, as we've said. Look at the end of Psalm 118. We sang some of these words. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, do save, we beseech you. O Lord, we beseech you, do send prosperity. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God. See, there it is again. The Lord is God. And blessed is the one who comes in the name. Who was that? It was Jesus. And then verse 27 again. The Lord is God, and He has given us light. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. Who is the festal sacrifice? It's our Lord Jesus. He is the Passover sacrifice. Christ our Passover. The festival sacrifice. He is the one who died and rose again. How did this redemption come about? It was through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is His work then that gives us life. And so, as we go back to Psalm 150, if you turn back there again, praise the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in His mighty expanse, praise Him for His mighty deeds. He is the Creator and the Redeemer. He is the one that we with whom we have to do. And then the psalm tells us, after explaining why we are to praise Him, it tells us when we are to praise Him. Praise Him in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty expanse. It's the firmament. Praise Him in the firmament. We spent some time in Colorado this year. Ed likes Colorado. And if you go out, you're at a pretty high altitude, and if you go out, the sky is clear, and it's big country because you can see from horizon to horizon almost. And the arch of heaven is great, and the stars are bright on a clear night. It's almost as though you could reach up and touch them. But they're so far away, it's very great. The heavens declare the glory of God. And He is in the heavens declaring His splendor. And all you can do is look at that magnificent sight and say, praise God for His creation. Praise Him in the firmament. And what is under that sky? What's under that sky? Everything. Everything is under that sky, right? We're under that sky. Every city in the world is under that sky. Every human being is under that sky. All the activities of the world are under that sky. Praise Him under that firmament. Praise Him because of all that He does. Praise Him in every area of life. And this is what the psalmist is, I really think, talking about in the following verses. Praise him with a trumpet sound. I wish we had more time. I won't go there. I already promised Ed. But praise him with a trumpet sound. The trumpet was sounded when Solomon was inaugurated king. Praise him on the occasion of the sounding of the trumpet when the officials of government are inaugurated. Praise him on those occurrences, on those occasions. Praise him with the harp and lyre. The harp and the lyre were commonly played at banquets in Israel. Lavish affairs in which great tables were spread. And when the harp and the lyres were played, it wasn't just to be a secular affair. It was to be an affair in which God was given glory for all that was set upon that table. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do what? Give glory to God. Praise God. See, that's the idea. Praise him with timbrel and dancing. And the timbrel was often played at weddings, and there was dancing at weddings. They weren't just to be secular affairs. They were to be affairs in which God was recognized, you see. Praise him on every occasion. I think that's really what's going on here. Yes, the instruments were used in worship. And I'm going to talk about that just very briefly. But there's an accent here on all of life. And we are finally, you see, to praise God in worship. Praise the Lord. Praise God in the sanctuary. That's part of what we are to do. And the instruments and the pipes and the cymbals were part of the system of the sacrifices and the worship of Israel. And so on the occasion of worship, we are to give praise to God. And, dear friends, our worship is not to be centered upon us. Our worship is not to be centered upon our difficulties. Our worship is to be centered upon who God is and what He has done. He is fully capable of handling any of our difficulties. And so we are to give Him praise in this way. I had an email from a person this week when I got back to my office after my trip. I checked my email, and one of the letters was from a person who had read a devotional of mine on the internet. And this person, it was a one-liner, said, "Do I need to go to church? I practice daily devotions. Isn't that enough?" Okay. Well, this is what's happened in our culture and our society. A downplaying of public and corporate worship in favor of an individualistic stance before God. It's good enough if I just read my Bible by myself. Irma and I had an acquaintance in Sterling, Kansas, who worked on the college campus in Sterling. He was the dean of students. He said to me one day, "My spiritual life is better if I just stay home on Sunday morning and don't go to church." I think he had it backwards. Worship God in the sanctuary. Worship Him in all of life. Worship Him in the sanctuary. Give Him praise in all of these areas. And so this is the burden of the psalm, I think. God is great, and He has done great things. Praise Him in every area of life, and especially praise Him in worship. I'm indicted by this psalm, and I'll tell you why. I grumble too much. I know that none of you have this difficulty. Paul says, Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for God is at work in you, both the will and to do for His good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling and disputing. Forgive me, Lord, because I have not given you the praise you are due. In every area of life, and in worship, as I've come with your people. That's what the psalm takes us to. God is great, and He has done great things. Friends, give Him praise in every area of life, and give Him your praise, especially in public worship. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Bless it to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.